I can't let you walk into another harvest season, guessing which tool to reach for when the counters are buried in produce, because that uncertainty is exactly how hard-earned food ends up in the compost pile. You've put in the sweat, the early mornings, the literal blood, sweat, and tears into that soil, only to let a lack of strategy steal your security. It's a quiet tragedy when a homesteader loses a crop not to the frost, but to the kitchen. Today we are ending the guessing game. We are diving deep into preserving 101, freezing versus canning versus dehydrating. By the time we're done, you won't just know how to save your food, you'll know how to protect your time, your energy, and your family's winter pantry with the precision of a master. The old way of preserving was often a frantic all-night marathon born out of desperation, where every single tomato had to be canned regardless of whether you actually had the energy to stand over a boiling pot for 6 hours. That struggle comes from a place of scarcity and a lack of systems. When we operate that way, we burn out before the first frost even hits. The farm fresh way is different. It's about being the architect of your pantry. It's about understanding the unique physics of each method so you can match the vegetable to the process that honors its flavor and your lifestyle. If you try to preserve everything the same way, you're going to end up with a pantry full of mushy textures and lost nutrients. We aren't just saving calories here, we are saving the soul of the harvest. Think about the psychology of your kitchen. If you dread the process, you'll start resenting the garden. But when you have a tiered system, knowing exactly when to fire up the dehydrator and when to pull out the pressure canner, you regain control. You stop being a slave to the harvest and start being its commander. Let's get granular. Let's talk about the cold, the heat, and the air. We start with the freezer, which is the ultimate tool for the time-poor homesteader. Freezing is about speed and enzyme management. If you take a bag of peas and just toss them in, you're going to get a block of ice that tastes like a freezer-burnt basement. The secret is the blanch and the flash freeze. You drop those greens into boiling water for just long enough to stop the ripening enzymes. Then you plunge them into ice water to shock the system. This preserves the vibrant green color and that snap we all crave. Spread them out on a tray so they don't touch. Freeze them solid, then bag them. This gives you individual pieces you can pour out like gravel. But remember the pitfall. The freezer is a literal tether to the grid. If the power goes, your security melts. That is why we never rely on the freezer for more than 30% of our long-term stores. It's for the high turnover items, the smoothie fruits, the soup starters, the things you'll eat within 6 months. Now we move to the heavyweight champion, canning. This is where we talk about shelf stability and the science of botulism. There are no shortcuts here. If you're water bathing a low-acid vegetable like green beans because your grandmother did it, you are playing a dangerous game with your family's health. We follow the USDA guidelines because science doesn't care about tradition. Canning is about heat penetration and vacuum seals. For high-acid foods like tomatoes or pickled cucumbers, the water bath is your friend. It's simple, it's rhythmic, it's accessible. But for your meats, your corn, your potatoes, you must use the pressure canner. This isn't just about cooking the food, it's about reaching 240 degrees Fahrenheit to kill the spores that thrive in an oxygen-free jar. The common pitfall I see is overpacking. If you cram those jars too tight, the heat can't reach the center, and you've just created a ticking time bomb on your shelf. Leave your headspace, wipe your rims with vinegar to ensure a precise unseal, and listen for that beautiful ping of success. A canned jar is a battery of sunlight stored for a rainy day, no electricity required. Finally, we look at dehydrating, the oldest and perhaps most underrated tool in our kit. This is about the removal of moisture. When you take the water out, you take the life support away from bacteria. A high-quality dehydrator is an investment in flavor, concentration. Think about a sun-dried tomato versus a canned one. The dehydrated version is an explosion of taste. The trick here is uniformity. If your slices are different thicknesses, half will be leathery and the other half will mold in the jar. Use a mandolin slicer for everything. And don't forget the conditioning phase. After you take things out of the dehydrator, put them in a clear jar and shake it daily for a week. If you see even a hint of condensation on the glass, it goes back in the machine. Dehydrating is perfect for herbs, for fruit leather, and for making your own lightweight high-keto meals. It reduces the footprint of your harvest by 90%. You can fit an entire bushel of apples into a few half-gallon jars. It's the ultimate space saver for the small-scale homestead. Imagine your pantry a year from now. You walk in and you see rows of gleaming jars, bags of perfectly frozen berries, and jars of intense dried herbs. You aren't worried about the grocery store prices or the next storm, because you have diversified your risk. You have the texture of the freezer, the security of the canner, and the effish unsee of the dehydrator. You've moved from a hobbyist to a producer. You've mastered the elements. Your task for today is simple, and it costs you $0. Go into your kitchen and audit your current equipment. Check your seals, check your inventory, and choose one vegetable you usually struggle with, and decide right now which of these three paths you will take when it hits the counter this summer. Commitment is the first step to a full pantry. Next time, we're going to talk about the dark art of fermentation and why your gut health is the final frontier of the homestead. I'll see you in the garden.